Citi and Morgan Stanley moved to challenge JP Morgan's LBMA franchise. Citigroup and Morgan Stanley are preparing to enter London's vaulting and clearing business as gold demand accelerates, challenging JP Morgan's leading role in the world's largest physical bullion hub.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Goldfix Market Rundown. We have three items to discuss today in addition to the actual market movement. The first one is the gold for Bitcoin rumor. It lacks market confirmation so far, but the Overton window is being moved. That is in reference to Senator Loomis's renewed advocacy for the U.S. to sell at least a portion of its gold and use that money to buy Bitcoin, ostensibly to retire debt. We're going to discuss that, the facts of that as well. We sent that out in a post to people this morning. We also have some context to give in a future post to look forward to on that. Second, Citibank and Morgan Stanley are now vying for vault status at the LBMA. That was a news item that yesterday, and we sent it as well. Basically, JP Morgan has the lock on the LBMA franchise for vaulting metals, and Citibank and Morgan Stanley are now in the process of being included in that. Just a quick comment about that. If you're wondering what that implies, well, it implies that the LBMA is weak, and it implies that their business is too focused on one counterparty, JP Morgan. So perhaps JP Morgan was struggling with its responsibilities during the crises about the at the LBMA. Perhaps not. But speculatively speaking, intuitively speaking, if Citi and Morgan Stanley are moving in there, then perhaps Citi and Morgan Stanley were part of the reason that the LBMA survived this most recent debacle. And going forward, if you're interested at all in the Western Hemisphere supply chains for gold, well, then the LBMA, as much as I hate them, probably has to exist. And so we're shoring up our own supply chains by doing that. You could look at JP Morgan as being the general, and you can look at Citibank and Morgan Stanley being the reinforcements being brought out to support that. So it's welcome for the West. It is, however, a comment on how fragile that system has been, how fragile it's been for years. And we want to touch on a story that we wrote a couple days ago when gold first started coming off, when we said that the BIS capped it, the plunge protection team capped it, and the market was setting up for a fall because of the Xi Trump conversation, however it comes out, and the optics surrounding that. We said that with some conviction, and we're going to say that with even more conviction now, based on some patterns that we've seen and the fact that the gold market is coming off. We're also going to talk about that in context of the markets of the price action. So let's start with the markets. 10-year yields are 398, unchanged. The dollar is down 8 at 98.71. The S&P 500 is 68.80, unchanged. NASDAQ is up 2 handles. The VIX is unchanged bid. Gold is down $54, was down 90 at one point, 39.27 last. So well below those levels that I gave last night. Silver, 46.49, down 47, also well off its lows. Consolation. Copper, 507 and change, down almost 3 cents. WTI, down a buck at 60.89. I think there's some news out. Natural gas, down 4 cents. Bitcoin, holding steady at 114 and change. Ethereum, volatile, but really nowhere, 4,100. Palladium, down 34. Platinum, down 21. Gold, silver, holding in the 84 and change range. And grains, up again, a decent amount. Okay, so there's the front page. We're going to discuss the sell gold, buy Bitcoin discussion in the lower right-hand side. And I brought back up the calling the bluff. We said going into the U.S.-China trade summit, or whatever you want to call it, discussion, that China was flexing and putting on some gold longs to let the world know that they wanted, they were part of the process. And we think that as the negotiation progressed, China either backed off out of weakness or backed off out of conciliatory cooperation. But China called the West's bluff on gold pricing, and the U.S. pushed back, and that's part of the negotiation. Anyway, let's go to the actual stories. There's a gold for Bitcoin rumor. It lacks market confirmation so far. Now, rumors in Washington suggest the U.S. might sell part of its gold reserves to buy Bitcoin. Markets are not buying it as of yet. Gold remains weak, as we can all see, as its correction pushes towards $4,000 below it now. And Bitcoin inflows remain soft, however. Bloomberg's Simon White, macroeconomist via Zero Hedge, notes that flows between gold and crypto usually rotate. So risk on gold, risk off gold. There's definitely a an inverted correlation there. Yet both are under pressure at the same time. Now, I wouldn't call Bitcoin under pressure, but I would say it's off its highs. That signals a normal technical shakeout in gold rather than money shifting into Bitcoin. That's what Simon contends. Right now, this gold for Bitcoin idea has no confirmation in market behavior. Now, that's the story, and that's what we're reporting. We have the two clips of her saying that, but the clips are interesting, and we're going to comment in a future post on what is going on here. To give you, in a nutshell, what is going on is, even though the merits of the conversation, selling gold for Bitcoin, are not insane, what they are insane is to say that selling gold and buying Bitcoin reduces debt. No, it doesn't. I mean, maybe it does. Who knows? I don't think it does. But bear in mind, Senator Loomis is back talking about this as gold is coming off, and now she's got Trump's endorsement. So this is to keep a lid on gold and to steer money into Bitcoin. It's the bubble that they want. They don't want the gold bubble. Okay, so that story's sent out this morning. You can have that. You can take a look at that earlier or later. Citi and Morgan Stanley move to challenge JP Morgan's LBMA franchise. Citigroup and Morgan Stanley are preparing to enter London's vaulting and clearing business as gold demand accelerates, challenging JP Morgan's leading role in the world's largest physical bullion hub. Okay. You can read the rest of that post in the Citi MS move to challenge JP Morgan's LBMA franchise. And just going back for 1 second, the rest of that story is in the premium post. Senator Loomis' plan gains traction, but not price action yet. Related post. Yesterday, we also sent out, we read a nice op-ed by Dr. Judy Shelton. Gold can shore up the dollar. That's in the Wall Street Journal. We have an extract of that for you here. The Gold and Silver Weekly Update, that's yesterday's morning commentary. Founders AM, that was a special comment on the tactical reason for the sell-off. And investors are not puking, CTAs are relevant because we have the proof of that now. We have a CTA breakdown that we'll be sharing later on today or early tomorrow. But CTAs are the ones selling. We're in buy season. Well, we'll talk about that in the technical part. And there's a chat, pretty active. I think a lot of hand-wringing and hand-holding, but good spirits overall. I mean, how can you really complain? Fed Day is on Wednesday. Today's the 9 a.m. S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index. PCE is on Friday. I don't know that that's going to come out. That's why the asterisk is there. But Wednesday is the day that you care about the most. I'm not going to go through the details of it, but yesterday's Goldfix PM, we had a 29-minute audio recap. Now, basically, it was soup to nuts. It was technicals. It was fundamentals. It was flows. It was basically me extemporaneously going through the process of the last 3 or 4 days and where we could go with technical levels as well. So I would refer to you to that if you wanted to get a more in-depth take on what we think is going on, at least at the macroeconomic level. Let's go to the charts now. I want to start with this. This is a daily gold chart going back to November of 22. Why November of 22? Because that was after the Fed stopped easing, stopped raising, they were raising rates. Just to refresh your memory, February 22, the Ukraine war starts, right? The Fed starts raising rates between April and November. Both markets drop, and then the bottom is in November, October, November, and then we start to go up. And there's your first line. That's the trend. I just want to give you a little bit of a zoom out here. That's the trend right here, right? And then the trend drives up a little bit. Up again. Okay, that's as overbought as it gets. That's a line version of what an RSI looks like when it gets overbought. So why am I saying that? Well, because at the end of every one of these trends is a seller. We'll get into it later on, but let me just go to the next chart so you can see what I'm talking about. If you're looking for levels to buy, and we just went through one of the Fibonacci levels that I gave you, use this, okay? This is the long-term trend. Had there been no news or no excitement, we'd be trading 2,400 and we'd be happy about it. Between 2,400 and 3,000 and we'd be happy about it. This, I'm telling you, this year, that's China macro discretionary and U.S. macro discretionary buying it, going into the negotiation. Negotiation's over. So this trend is dead. I truly think the first pullback level that you want to start to look at is 3770 to 3800. If we get there, then the work could be done and it could really be loading up to go higher again because it would be oversold. CTAs would be short then. If we break that, then you can look for 3400 in that area right there. And above 3400, you should be ecstatic. If it gets below 3400, then I would worry. But what I really think is going to happen, if you're interested, is I think the market's going to consolidate sideways, may work its way down. The 50-day moving average, which is going to come in around 3770 to 3800, is going to be important again, and that'll be the next test. Or we could just turn around right now and go back up because Trump says something inflammatory and China gets a little bit annoyed by it. Next chart. This is the arrows are when China buys, generally speaking, not pointedly. And the little rectangles are when the BIS caps. This market is in trade, cap and trade mode. So we've just been capped and now we're going to trade. Let's see how much lower we go. Let's see where the buying really is. I think usually after monthly spikes like that, we should drop significantly, right? I mean, if this is the old gold, right? From an RSI of 90. However, keep in mind that on the daily chart, RSI has gone from 90 to 50, like in 3 days. So it's not overbought at all on a daily. On a monthly, however, it's going to be overbought. And you could certainly make the case technically that this is the beginning of a big down move, not the end on a monthly chart. But I would say that the buying is there. The Chinese buying is still there. The physical demand from insurance companies is still there. And U.S. and Chinese ETFs are buying and holding. They're not buying and puking, which is a little bit surprising on the U.S. side, as far as I'm concerned. And I think contextually, it's not surprising when I think about the fact that it is buy season. So you've got a lot of buying in the market right now, and it's probably holding us up. And if we can withstand this, CTAs are going to get short, and then that'll be the rocket fuel for, say, December. November earlier, hopefully, but December for sure. Anyway, I have gone from looking for the downside, looking for where the knife gets caught, to saying, I know the knife's going to get caught now. I'm not worried about it. I've really in the last 24 hours, this analysis, for my own purposes, has really clarified that for me. Okay, so let's go to the dailies. I'll show you a couple things. So, if you're looking for some tactical levels, every technician is going to have different levels. But they'll probably, what you care about is the levels that the biggest players are looking at. And one of the levels they were looking at was this 3974 level, which happens to be a Fibonacci retracement. I drew that line there as well for a different reason. I just said it looks like a nice shelf it should pause at. And of course it did, of course, well it did. And it only paused for one day. So that's your first wave of buying being satisfied. It could have been some shorts covering. It could have been some people looking to catch a knife, probably shorts covering for the most part from the profits on the washout. Now the next level is 3865. Now that's a poly level, and I didn't have that as an important level, but the blue lines tend to work really well in this system. Below that, if we get below that, if we were to get below that, I think the 50-day moving average, the blue curved line, that's, we have a destiny with it. We have a date with the 50-day moving average, whether we get there by dropping or we get there by staying there, the 50-day moving average moves up, I don't know, but we have a date with it. It needs to touch base somewhere before it rockets higher again. Of course, on the other hand, now here's the other hand, right? Goldman Sachs put out a report yesterday, and we've only seen excerpts of it so far. But essentially, after a 6% sell-off in gold, they were unfazed, unmoved, and unafraid of what's coming next. And the comment was, nothing has changed. I mean, this is the story. No, I can't believe I'm trusting Goldman Sachs with this stuff, but it's true. Nothing has changed. Physical demand is still there. ETFs are not puking. And this was an overbought CTA situation and Shanghai trader puking. That's it. And I believe them. I believe they actually raised their target again for 2026. So there you have it. I think they were saying 4,900 was their cap, and they raised it to 5,050 now. So I believe they raised the target on the back of the physical bullion buying for the central banks returning in September and October. So, or September, probably half of October, there's definitely been buying. So that's it. I think we're back to the grind of a market that's going to rally 20% a year for the next 5-10 years. And you're going to have spikes like we had recently. All right, I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for tuning in and watching this morning's show with Vince Lancy. Sure do hope that you enjoyed the show, that your day is off to a great start. And if you had fun, go ahead and hit that like button. Make sure you're subscribed so that as we continue to see these gold and silver markets unfold, you can stay posted with the latest ahead of this history that is being made. And just in case you missed what we shared yesterday on the channel, well, that one is coming your way now. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.